And I was thinking about the fact that this coming week we're going to celebrate the beginning of the spring season here in northeastern Pennsylvania. And Friday, my wife got up out of bed and was able to walk down the stairs to our yard and sit on a swing, and my son came over with his wife, and we thought four kids, but we found out five because she's pregnant and going to have a baby end of August, Lord willing. And so it was a really nice day. My wife got to be outside, and I went out and bought pizza for everybody, and we just had a good Friday afternoon. I was talking to my son, Brian, my youngest son, who lives down the road from us. I was talking to him about how he loves spring, and he said he loves late spring. He said he likes end of May and the first part of June. He said, I get it in my head because everything's still in front of me. He said, it's not the end, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm excited about that time of the year. And when I think about that, I think about Memorial Day comes the end of May, and that's when we think about getting into the water and swimming because it gets really hot and that water is refreshing and you want to swim and cool off a little bit. And you know, some people when they swim, they just dive into the cooler water to swim. Others like to wade in and go a little deeper and then a little deeper, splash a little water and then dive in eventually. How many of you like to go in slowly like that? Okay. How many just want to dive right in? Okay. Half and half, maybe. And this whole thought puts me in mind of a song that we sing a lot. It's called Step Into the Water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Step into the water of His love. And so forth. And all of this puts me in mind of what we're preaching on today, Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 through 9, that was just read. And here, as we read about this, we are looking at a temple that the Lord is building in heaven. The Lord has a temple in the New Jerusalem. We know it's there. But we know when it comes to earth, that temple is not there anymore. And I take it that He's going to move the temple and put it on top of Mount Zion, which will be elevated for a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And the heavenly temple will be on earth. And the heavenly Jerusalem will be suspended around the elevated Mount Zion. And we, the God's people, will live in the heavenly city. And Mount Zion will be at the base of the city, but on earth in that elevated hill called Mount Zion, the highest hill on earth at that time. And so this that we're looking at here, the Bible says that waters will issue out of the temple and they'll flow out from under the threshold of the door, and the door will be on the east side of the temple. Now, I know where that is because I went there, and that door that goes to the east goes down the hill, way down to the Dead Sea, where there's no fish, it's just dead. Everything is dead. But the water that comes out of that temple is going to heal everything it touches, and fish will live in it. And when it goes into the Dead Sea, there will be fish again living in the Dead Sea, and the waters will come to life. And so these are healing waters that come out of the millennial temple, and they'll go and heal the earth, and great things will grow in the earth. So all of that puts me in mind of a message as I look at this, and it's called Come On In, The Water Is Fine. And here in Ezekiel, the message is taken from the house of God with that water that's going to spring up and come out from under the threshold and flow down to the east and down to the Dead Sea and make it alive and heal everything that it touches, because the waters will be healing and it will be blessed. Now keep in mind that these waters come out of the temple of God, out of the house of God. And do you know that the church of Jesus Christ is made up of people who are called living stones, and we are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in us. And I like what Brother Joe Slobodnik says, that the church and the gathering of the church is the nearest thing to heaven, this side of heaven. And we could say it's the nearest thing to the coming kingdom when the Lord sets up his kingdom on earth and his temple is in Mount Zion. Church is like that. And so Ezekiel, the prophet, was taken to this future house of God in the spirit, and he was led by a divine guide, and Ezekiel's guide was to show him the measuring of the waters that ran out of the house of God. He had a measuring rod, and he began to measure the waters. Now, interesting, the waters started from the eastern door of the temple and flow out from there to the east. And you know, the sun rises in the east, and Jesus Christ is called the Son of Righteousness, and he was born in the Middle East, and when he arises upon your soul, when it's sick with sin, he can heal your soul. He can heal your life. I remember I was 17 years of age, and I was living in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I had bitterness in my heart. I had bitterness in my life. I had a chip on my shoulder at that time, and I was not right with God. I was not saved, and I went to stay with my grandmother in Muskegon, Michigan, and that summer while I stayed there, Jesus Christ came up like the sun, and he healed me. He healed the bitterness in my heart. He gave me the forgiveness of sins. He healed the dead spirit and gave me life, so that from that time on, I have been alive unto God and have God's Spirit in my life. And it's all because of Jesus, who died on that cross to pay for our sins, who was buried but rose again to rise upon us and heal us. Wouldn't it be great if somebody here today, you may have bitterness in your heart, you are a sinner, you're not right with God, you're not on your way to heaven, and Jesus Christ rises upon you right here in this temple of God, this church of God with living stones, and you experience the healing of God. What a great thing it is when somebody gets saved in church. I wonder, was anybody saved in church or church service? Raise your hand. What a wonderful thing that is. All around the building, you can see that happen. And so the gospel comes from the east, and it comes to bless and heal the world and people in the world. And if you're here today, you may live in the West, you may live in America, but you're going to be healed by a Jewish Savior called Jesus. I know some people that are in the college campuses that hate the Jews and protest against the Jews and all that. Well, they're just doing Satan's work. Because God uses the Jews to save the world, and a Jewish Savior can save you. And the man that had this measuring stick now, or a line in his hand, was to walk downstream from the waters that ran out of God's house for 1,000 cubits. You say, well, how far is that? It's about a third of a mile. You know, we think of a quarter of a mile, a little more than that, a third of a mile. And when he walked that far, it says in verse 3 of Ezekiel 47 that now the very shallow waters are a little bit deeper. Okay, they're a little bit deeper at that point. And then they reached to the ankles after you got out there a third of a mile. The waters got deeper. Then he went another third of a mile. He measured out and walked through the waters. And now they were, the waters were to the knees. And then he walked another third of a mile after he measured it. And they were to the waist, or the loins, waist deep. Finally, after another third of a mile, the waters came up over the head, and the only way you could get through the waters at that point, you had to swim to get over the waters. And as this guide kept going and led the prophet, these healing waters of life were flowing out from the east side of God's house. They kept getting deeper and deeper. And I see something here for us, because we know that when we get together in the house of God, the Lord Jesus Christ has healing spiritual waters that flow. And first, the waters that run very fast mean that you must step into the water of Jesus Christ paying for your sin and dying on that cross and rising from the dead. And you must trust Christ. And that's how you get saved, by trusting Him. And that's just the beginning. You don't know a whole lot. And then some of you, you get that new life and you get in up to your ankles in that new life. Some of you stay there and are not willing to wade out any deeper. And so you don't get much deeper than that. And some of you get out to your knees. And then I'm talking to others that are here, and you've stepped into the waters and been saved by Jesus and so forth, and then you got to your ankles and you got to your knees, but you've waded out to your waist, to your loins, and you're waist deep in the Christian life and in your experience. But that is about enough for you. You don't go any farther. But I'm talking to some of you, you've gotten out so far that now you are in over your head and you're swimming and you're flowing with God and you're way into it. You're truly into the Christian life in a full way. And so may I say to you that have never experienced being born again, you've never even gotten in to get your feet wet in the love of Jesus Christ so that you could be healed, may I say to you who've not done that, come on in this morning. The water is fine. I invite you to come in and get what I got. The church invites you to come in and get what they got. The Holy Spirit this morning is here. He's the living water that flows from the temple of God in heaven. And the Holy Spirit says to you, come on in. Put your trust in Jesus, who died for our sin, who was buried and rose again to heal our dead spirit, to make us alive, and to change our life. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and He won't cast you out. Come on in. The water is fine. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. Step by faith into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Keep on going forward to grow in grace and in your personal knowledge of the Lord. Go deeper into God's love and go deeper into God's grace. You say, why? Because the water is fine. It is wonderful water. And so I want to make some spiritual applications from Ezekiel's encounter here. And the first one is, come on in, the water's fine. Let's say this morning, the best place to get your feet wet is in the house of God. Janet, did you get saved in the house of God and got your feet wet in the house of God? I know Alicia's mother got saved in the house of God and walked the aisle. Now she's in heaven. And what a wonderful thing that would be to get saved right here this morning. Amen. On this big day. You came to a big day and got saved after that service. And God wants you to step into the water of Jesus' love. Because He loved the world. He died on that cross to save us. And He invites you to come. And by the way, this swim is free. This water is free. It's given by God. It's free water. How many of you ever got a water bill? I got water bills. You have to pay for water. You know, And thank God I got well water now. I don't have to pay for my water. I'm the only one in South Abington, the only person with free water. And I have my own well, no, and I don't have water bills. Thank God. But this water's free. Amen. I'm going to heaven because I got a free gift. I'm going to heaven not because I'm some great person. I was just a bitter teenager, not saved, and Jesus took pity on me. He died to give me a free gift, and He paid for it with His blood. So I didn't have to pay for it. I just reached up and received it that summer by simple faith. And that's how you get it. And so the Bible talks about this in 1 John. It says in verse 13 of chapter 5 that you can know you're going to heaven. We have a know-so salvation. God wrote these things that we would know it. John 14, Jesus said, you don't have to worry about your salvation. Once you trust Him, He said, I've got that home for you in heaven. You don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about that now. It's a free gift. I was talking to a couple the other day, and they said, oh man, we need a house, but the houses around here that we need, because we got so many kids, they cost $400,000. So we got to go way down there in Sunbury. I said, well, God could give you a house up here, but still up here, they cost about $250,000. It cost that down there. Up here, they cost $400,000, he was saying. But I said, we can pray. But I got something better than that. Got some real estate in heaven that's a free gift. Already paid for by Jesus. And if you receive his offer to save you and you trust him, he will save you. And he will eventually, he will show you that mansion that you have. And the Bible says here that then brought he me out of the gate unto the utter gate by the way, verse 2, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, it says, listen, there ran out waters on the right side. So the Bible says here the waters ran out. And it means that the waters that ran out were very shallow. They wouldn't even cover the ankles there. They just ran very fast, and you could just get your feet wet in it. In other words, the waters that came out from the eastern door were shallow, and they were flowing from the east. And why in the east? Well, the Bible says that the Garden of Eden was in the east. And that's where God put us. And there was no sickness then, no death then, no bad winter time then. The weather was beautiful in the Garden of Eden. They didn't even have to wear clothes. I mean, it was great. And there was no sin. But there in the Garden of Eden, Satan got Eve to sin. She got her husband to sin. And that made us all in misery. And now we're all on death row, waiting to die and go to hell, unfortunately. That all happened in the east. But in the east, in that Garden of Eden, God showed Adam a lamb. And he said, I want you now to kill the first animal that will be killed, which will be a lamb. And I want you to cut his throat, his carotid artery, and let that blood flow out. And that points to someone who's going to be an innocent lamb. And he's going to be slaughtered so that people can be saved. Now, that lamb didn't take away Adam's sin, but it showed his faith in the one that was going to be the lamb. You know who that lamb is? Jesus. Amen. Mary had a little lamb, Jesus. His fleece was white as snow. And everywhere as a boy that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go. That was Jesus, my friend. He's the Lamb of God. He can take away your sin. The church waters of baptism won't do it. Joining the church won't do it. Becoming religious won't do it. Being a good person won't do it. No, you've got to come to him as a sinner. You've got to come to him knowing you deserve to die and go to hell. And then trust Jesus that he died for anybody in this world that will simply come to him in simple faith. And trust him to be their Savior. Come on in. The water's fine. Step into the water. The water that will heal you. The water that will save you. The water that will cleanse you. And I think of the woman at the well. When Jesus came up to her, he got her engaged in a discussion. And then she got thinking about the Messiah. And he said, yeah, the Messiah, she said, is going to come someday. And Jesus said, I that speak to you am he. And she was like, wow, I've just been talking to the Messiah. I thought he was a prophet, but he's God in the flesh. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. And she left her water pot to tell others about what happened to her. You know, Jesus said to her before she recognized who he was, he said to her, if you knew who was talking to you, you would have asked, and he would have given you living water. If you recognize Jesus as the one that's offering you through this message that your sins can be forgiven, you simply would ask Jesus, save me, and he will do it and give you a new life. He will do it. I tell people, I say this all the time. Ray is back there. I've talked to Ray. I would say to Ray, if I saw you after I left this house and you'd stepped into quicksand and you were sinking down to your waist and then your chest and you threw up your arms and said, Pastor, save me. I would go, Ray, too bad. I'm busy. No, I wouldn't do that. I'd take your hands and I'd pull you out. You know, I can't save you from hell. He can't. He can't. Nobody here can. But there's one that can save you. He's got the holes in his hands, the hole in his side, the hole in his feet. He died, was buried. He's alive. He can save you, and he will. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I came to him, and he forgave this sinful 17-year-old, unworthy, unlikely person. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. He says he will do it. And I believe the best place for you to get saved is right here and right now. The Bible says today is the day. Now is the time. Why not in church? What's a better place? And so this is something that I say to you this morning from the Word of God. Come on in. The water of salvation is fine. Just get your feet wet in that water, and then you'll be blessed of Almighty God. And what a blessed thing that is to get in there and get the healing waters for you. And by the way, when you get in there and you get healed, I think of Naaman the leper. He was a rich man. He was a famous man. He was a general. And he had leprosy, incurable disease. And he went to the prophet of God. And the prophet of God never even came out of his house. So he never saw him. Some people think they got to have some miracle or see Jesus to get saved. No, it's by faith. And the prophet just sent a messenger out, just like I'm a messenger. And he said, go to the Jordan River, dip yourself in the river 7 times, and your leprosy will be healed. Naaman got angry. He said, this is too simple. That Jordan River's a muddy river. I'm not going to do that. I got better rivers where I'm from. And he was prideful. But his servant said, hey, he told you something simple to do. Why not do it? You know what? God's plan of salvation is simple. He says you're a sinner, you're condemned, you're going to die and go to hell, but Jesus died and rose again. And if you put your trust in him, he'll save you. That's simple. You get saved once and for all. And you do it by faith. That's simple. You know, I was at the mall this past week, and I saw a couple guys, and they were simple. And I said, oh, they're simple. I don't know if I'm going to talk to those guys. They're very simple. They were in a group home. They were adult men, but they were in a group home. One's name was Tom, and the other's name was Dave. And I said, you know what? God wants me to talk to those guys. And I went over to talk to Tom and Dave. And they were simple, but they could understand the basics. By the way, if you can understand that you're a sinner and that you're on your way to hell, then you need to get saved. You've reached that accountability. And these guys understood that. And I talked to them about that. And you know what? I gave them the good news and I said, would you like to pray to receive Jesus? And they said, yes. And they bowed their head and said, Lord, we're sinners. We know we deserve to go to hell, but we trust you and we're saved. I believe God's plan of salvation is so simple a child could understand it. So simple some adult people that may be in a group home can understand it. And need to have somebody tell them how to get saved. And I want to say to you, come on in, the water's fine, because the best place for you to get saved is right here. The best time is today and right now. And may you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And you know what? I believe if you trust him, you'd be willing then to say to others, I'm saved. I have a wedding ring on. I'm not ashamed to say I'm married to my wife. And you know, when you get saved, God says, I want you to come forward, and there's a changing room back there. Get changed and put on a robe. Somebody would show you that, and there's a heated pool, and step down the steps and sit down and get dunked under the water and come back up again. Because that's saying, I have trusted Jesus who died and rose again, and now I have that new life that he gave me. And that's something that you do after you get saved. And it's right away that you do that. Come on in. The water's fine. The water of having your sins forgiven by faith in Jesus is fine. The baptism water is fine. It's clean. It's warm. It's ready. Come on in. The water's fine. And the best place to get your feet wet is right here, right now. And secondly, the best place to get your feet covered is in the house of God, the church. Let's look at verse 3 of Ezekiel 47. He says, and the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward. He measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. And guess what? It says the waters were to his ankles. You come to a church like this, you step into the healing waters that flow from this pulpit and from the saints that are telling you the truth. And you step into the water of God's simple plan of salvation. And just like that, you're saved by Jesus. You don't know anything except you're a sinner on your way to hell and you trust Jesus. You just are in the shallow water and you trust it. But then you go forward in your Christian life another third of a mile, 1,000 cubits, and you step into your water and you cover your feet in them. What do your feet represent? What could we apply to that? Well, does that mean your feet are getting busy for God? I believe that means that. The Bible says that we're to march on the gates of hell, and they will not prevail against us. This past Thursday night, I prayed that this week we would have 25 out that would go out and march on the gates of hell and knock on doors and talk to people how to get saved, just like I'm telling you, outside the church, though. And I prayed because I had a guy that I had told this to in a laundromat. He was in a laundromat. This was some months ago in a laundromat, and he was sitting in there, and I asked him permission, and I started getting into the good news with him, and right there he put his faith in Jesus Christ to save him. And I said, Lord, I haven't seen this guy for a while, but I would like to see him going out with me and getting his feet wet, because the Bible says we're supposed to march with our feet on the gates of hell. And if he's not going out with somebody and sharing his testimony, then he's not getting his feet wet. I would like to see him there. And there he was, sitting there waiting to go out with me Thursday night. I was so happy. And I went out with him. And you know what he does? You know, we think about January 6th. A lot of people talk about January 6th. But when he goes out with me, he talks about January 6th as the day he got saved in the laundromat up here. And he shares his testimony. And then he got saved and he came to the first service here and he came forward and got baptized. Amen. He got baptized. And I said, Tom, is there anything that should hinder you from joining the church? Are you living in fornication? Are you falling down drunk? He said, no. I said, well, then why don't you join the church and come forward and join the church? He said, yeah, I'll do that. I'm just saying to you that once you get in the water and you trust him, you're saved. You have a home in heaven. But now you're walking through this world and he wants you, listen, to get your feet wet. He wants your ankles covered in the water, and that is to go out with your feet and to march on the gates of hell. You know, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples so that they could walk, and you need to do that. George Washington, who won the War of Independence, the Revolutionary War, his soldiers were freezing, their feet were cold, they didn't have shoes, and yet they marched and won the Revolutionary War. Listen, God says, I'll clean your feet, I'll put shoes on you, Jesus said, and I'll help you to march in my army and go out there, and you will not go in vain. God will bless you. And what a wonderful thing that is. I was out there, I ran into Eric, and we had a good talk, didn't we? And about the things of God. That was a blessing. Out there yesterday, marching with my feet. And I'm thankful years ago that I decided to be a pastor that would not just have a lecture every Sunday or Wednesday, but that I would also lead people to go out with their feet and tell people how to get saved outside of the church. And that's what the guide told the prophet. Go down further. You got your feet wet on the bottom. Now get your ankles wet. Cover your feet. And And he did just that. And I want to say this morning, come on in, the water's fine. If you're saved, you should have been baptized already and join the church. And then you should get involved in going out with somebody that is a soul winner. And you should recruit people to do that. And number three, the best place to get your knees covered is also in the house of God. Look at verse 4 of Ezekiel 47. I'll read it. It says, again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the what? The knees. Now, it's good to cover your knees. Especially you ladies. That's modest dress. Cover your knees. I remember when I was a kid, the girls would... I was only in like third or fourth grade, and the girls would go Japanese, Chinese with their eyes, and then they pull their skirts up and go American knees. And I liked those American knees as a little boy. I thought, whoa, that looks good. But you know what? You know what? God wants us to cover those knees, especially the ladies, but everybody. And so that's exactly what happened. The water would cover the knees. It was knee depth. And the prophet saw his guide measure that. And that means that you come to the point where you become a man or a woman, a lady, and a boy or a girl, and you really have real experiences of answer to prayer. I've had answers to prayer this week. I've got some things I'm praying for, but I've learned to get on the knees and to pray and to get answers to prayer. I'm glad for some men on a Saturday that get on their knees. They pray for God to have his power in these services so people will get their feet wet and trust Jesus and get saved. So they will come forward and get baptized to say they've been saved and join the church. So that they will sign up to go out with somebody and tell others about Jesus and so on and so forth. But it's not going to happen unless some people are getting their knees wet. So unless some people are bowing their knee. And I believe that that is an important part of a church being a growing church, being a strong church. I've heard it said, don't talk to men about God until you first talk to God about men. Amen. Yeah, you need to talk to God first about men. And Jacob learned that. Jacob, you know, he learned and he got his name changed from schemer, from conniver, which is what Jacob meant, to Israel, which means power with God, a prince that has power with God. I've known what it's like to preach in my own dedicated energy of my flesh. And I've learned to preach in the power of God. And you say, where does that come from? This. Praying. And not just me, but men that will help hold my hands up. Men of God, like Brother Joe Sabotnik, that'll be there, hold my hands up. And do you pray? And do you get answers to prayer each day? And do you come out on a Wednesday night and pray with God's people? I'm saying this is those that now are going a little bit farther into this new life. Now they're to the place where they're getting their knees covered. They're getting their knees wet. Amen. You want to get your knees wet. You know, I was in Florida and I just didn't feel like getting my knees wet. I got my ankles wet and my feet wet as I was walking down the deserted area of the beach in Florida. I go down, 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 walk. But I didn't want to get my knees wet when I was there. Had other fish to fry during that time. But man, would to God some of you get your feet wet and get saved and baptized, join the church, get your ankles wet and tell others about Jesus, and then get your knees wet and become a woman or a man of prayer. And what a blessing. By the way, that's how this church started. It started up in Clark's Green, Pennsylvania, in a dormitory. And it started in a room of the first pastor, who at that time was not a pastor. And we prayed for Scranton. And God led us down here. I'm so glad I'm here saved because of my great-grandmother's prayers. I know she prayed for me. And I'm here because of those prayers. And I want to say that we've seen more people saved and baptized recently because people are praying. And Jesus promised, if you go in secret and do it privately, He will reward you openly and get answers to prayer. I believe that our country is getting ready to be cleaned out because of people that have got their knees wet and fasted and prayed for this country. And it helped to save this country. Because if we didn't get something new happening, this country was doomed. Thank God for those that get their knees wet. And the best place to get your knees covered is in the house of Almighty God. Thank God for that. But I want to say another thing. Look at verse 4, the second part of verse 4, chapter 47. I'll read it, you follow. And notice what it says there in verse 4. He says in the second part of it, again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, were to the loins. The waters brought me through. He says the waters were to the loins. And what's the loins? The loins are your waist. You know, when you get in up to your waist, you're really getting in there, right? I'm in that water now. And you know what? If you ask a Major League Baseball player where he gets his power, he's going to say his power to swing the bat comes from right in here, the lower part of his body. He swings out. You watch a guy like Aaron Judge, who's a great hitter, one of the greatest of all time, a Babe Ruth-type hitter, Lou Gehrig-type hitter. He swings from his loins, and that's where his power comes from. And we need to have that. And so I'm just saying a boxer has to, if a boxer loses his legs, that boxer can't box. He loses his legs, he's ready to go down. You got to have your loins. And that's where a weightlifter wears a weight belt. Why? Because he wants his loins strong. If that goes out in his lower back, like happened to my wife, you don't do anything. You are done until you get help. You need your loins girded about. And the Bible says in Proverbs 31 that her loins are girded with strength. The woman girds her loins with strength. Means on she has to do tasks. My wife can't right now lift anything more than a milk bottle. Even now she can't lift a milk bottle. God is inviting you this morning to get your feet well by stepping out in faith and coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, save me. I know I'm a condemned sinner. Then he invites you to put on your running shoes and get out there and go out and walk for the Lord and go soul winning. Tell others. Go with somebody. And then once you do that, he wants you to know you've got needs out there. God's got to touch people's hearts. And you need to pray for the power and help of God. And then you're going to need God's strength to meet the needs that you face out here in this world. And you're only going to get that when your loins are girded about with God's strength. And then you can serve God and also you can stand against Satan. Because if you go out there and you poke Satan in the eye, boy, he's going to attack you back. And you better have the belt of truth around your loins so that you can be strengthened with God's truth. Because otherwise the devil will push you around. You need your loins girded about. You need God's power, God's strength. The best place to get that is in the house of God. But then look at verse 5. This is wonderful. Ezekiel 47, look with me at verse number 5. It says, afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. That is the best place to get, listen to me, all in. Are you all in? Are you in all the way? 100% for God? Listen, the best place to get that is right here in the house of God. And the prophet had stepped into the water. He'd waded out a little bit deeper. He got his ankles covered, representing soul winning. He went forward in this illustration of spiritual growth. He waded out deeper. He got his knees covered, representing productive praying. And then he didn't stop there. He knew he needed more. He got out a little bit deeper, and he got God's power to meet impossible needs that he met and that he needed. And he got the power through prayer, and he got the ear of God, and he got God to help him, and God involved in what he was doing. He got that when he got out there deeper. And then we say, yeah, come on in, the water's fine, because Ezekiel now just dove in over his head and he started swimming. He just got in there and started swimming. I've been there, amen. You're there, amen. You're out there swimming. Teenagers, have you done that? Get out there and swim. You know, we had a guy in our church, and I always told Brother Eric this. I said, this guy, if he ever just dives in and really gets in, he's getting his feet wet a little bit, he's getting his ankles wet, he's getting his knees wet, but I'd love to see him dive in. And you know what? There came a day when he dove in and he started swimming. And he was swimming with us, and we're swimming. His name is Jose Valley. Where is he? Downstairs? Serving God downstairs. He preached, and people have been reporting what a wonderful message. Jose Valley. He got in there and he just been swimming ever since. And what a difference it made in his life. And that was my complaint, wasn't it? He just hasn't dove in. I just can't wait till he dives in. I know I'm going to see something when he dives in. And thank God he dove in, and he just, all of a sudden, he just got in there. Now, praise God that happened to him. Now, we had another guy that he just stepped into the water, salvation, and he was saved, and he started wading out to his ankles, going out soul winning, and then he got in a little bit deeper, and he got into the church here, and then he left and came back and got in, and left and came back, and he just was wading a little bit deeper each time, and finally he got in, and he actually got into bus ministry, became a bus worker. And then I talked to him about praying about being a bus captain. He became a bus captain. He got in deeper and became a Sunday school teacher, had a Sunday school class. He enrolled in our preacher training college and Sunday school class, then a gym teacher in our Christian school. Then he was preaching in chapel. And this guy, somewhere along the line, he's just swimming now. He's just over his head. And that's Matt McCord, bus captain, servant of God. I said, we're going to have a bus captain Sunday. I have him preach for me Sunday morning. I'm just saying, God wants you to step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Get to the point where you are swimming for God, and you'll be in there with others that are swimming. And let me just say, when you get to that point that you're swimming in the deep, you see less and less of your body and more of the water. In other words, when you're swimming, you see less and less of you and more of the Spirit of the Lord. And when you're out there in the water, it's less likely that you're going to step on other people that are working for God, because you're all in the deep water swimming and you're not stepping on one another. When people are waiting, sometimes the pastor's preaching steps on your toes, steps on your knees, steps on your waist. But when you're swimming, oh no, you're just flowing with it. Oh, this is good. I like this. I'm going with it. How about it? Where are you? Have you stepped into the water of salvation? Because if you haven't, then you're on the bank. You're not even in the water. And if you die, you go to hell and pay for your sin. We don't want that. Trust Him. Have you gotten involved in going out soul winning with somebody? Like Jose Valley did with him and so forth, and did with me earlier before he got swimming. How about it? Have you gotten into a meaningful prayer life and gotten your knees wet? Have you learned to have God's power, the power of God, and gotten that so that you can see things really happen for God because of His power? God wants you to swim. He wants you all in. Are you all in? Today, wherever you are, God's speaking to your heart. May you listen to the Spirit of God. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.